Chapter 2. Herr Jean-Jacques Hofstede, the town poet, who was sure to have a few rhymes in his pocket for today as well, was not much younger than Johann Buddenbrook Sr., and apart from the fact that his frock coat was green, their taste in clothing was the same. But he was thinner and more sprightly than his old friend, and had small, quick hazel eyes and a long pointed nose. "Many thanks," he said, after he had shaken the hands of the gentlemen and executed a few of his choicest bows to the ladies, in particular to the consul's wife, whom he especially admired, the kind of bows of which the modern generation was totally incapable, each of them accompanied by a quiet and attentive smile. "Many thanks for your kind invitation, my dear friends. We, the doctor and I, met these two young people," and he pointed to Tom and Christian, who stood beside him in blue tunics with leather belts, "on Königstrasse, as they were returning from their studies. Splendid fellows! Madam Consul? Thomas, now there's a serious, steady intellect. He'll have to go into commerce, no doubt of that. Whereas Christian seems to go off in all directions at once, does he not? Something of an incroyable, though there's no concealing my engouement. He will go on to study, I fancy. He is a lad of wit and brilliant gifts." Herr Buddenbrook made use of his gold snuff-box. "The boy's a monkey. Better if he just became a poet, wouldn't it, Hofstede?" Mademoiselle Jungmann pulled the window curtains, tucking one over the other, and the room soon lay in the restless but discreet and soft candlelight provided by the crystal chandelier and the candlesticks on the secretary. "Well, Christian," the consul's wife said. Her hair had taken on a golden sheen now. "What did you learn this afternoon?" And it turned out that Christian had had lessons in writing, arithmetic, and singing. He was a lad of 7, who even now looked ridiculously like his father. He had the same rather small, round, deep-set eyes. The same jutting arch to the nose was evident already, and a few lines beneath the cheekbones suggested that the shape of the face would not retain its present childish fullness. "We've laughed ourselves silly," he was starting to chatter away now, while his eyes wandered from person to person in the room. "I have to tell you what Herr Stengel said to Siegmund Köstermann." He bent forward, shaking his head and addressing the empty air with great emphasis. "Externally, my good lad, externally you are sleek and dapper, true, but internally, my good lad, you are black." He dropped all his R's as he said it, and black came out as bleck, and his face was so convincingly comic at depicting this external sleekness and dapperness that they all broke into laughter. "Monkey!" old Buddenbrook repeated with a giggle. Herr Hofstede, however, was beside himself with ecstasy. "Charmant!" he cried. "Unsurpassable! You have to know Marcellus Stengel to a T. No, it's really too precious." Thomas, who lacked such talents, stood beside his younger brother, laughing heartily, with no trace of envy. His teeth were not very good, were small and yellowish, but his nose was strikingly well-chiselled, and both his eyes and the shape of his face greatly resembled those of his grandfather. Some adults seated themselves on the chairs, some on the sofa, and they chatted now with the children, commenting on the unseasonable cold, on the house. Herr Hofstede was admiring the splendid inkwell, a black-spotted hunting dog of Sevres porcelain that graced the secretary. Dr. Graboff, however, a man about the same age as the consul, and with a long, kind, and gentle, smiling face framed in whiskers, was inspecting the cakes, raisin bread, and various salt cellars set out for display on the table. This was the salt and bread sent by relatives and friends to mark the move to a new home. But as evidence that these were gifts from persons of some substance, the bread came in the form of sweet, spicy, heavy pastries, and the salt in sturdy gold containers.
"Looks as if I will have some work to do," the doctor said, pointing to the sweets and cautioning the children. And then, rocking his head, he held up a formidable utensil of salt, pepper, and mustard.
"From Lebrecht Kröger,"
Monsieur Buddenbrook said with a grin. "Always a fair man, my good relative is.
I did not present him with anything so fine when he built his summer house out beyond the Bourg Gate, but he's always been stylish, generous, a cavalier à la mode.
The bell had set up a clangor through the whole house several times now. Pastor Wunderlich arrived, a portly old gentleman in a long black coat. His hair was powdered, and he had a merry, fair face, in which a pair of grey, alert eyes sparkled. He had been a widower for many years, and counted himself among the confirmed bachelors, like Herr Gretchens, the tall broker who had come with him, and who was forever rolling up a scrawny hand and holding it to his eye like a telescope, as if examining a painting. He was generally recognised as a connoisseur of fine art. And Senator Dr. Langholz arrived as well, with his wife, long-time friends of the family, and Köppen, the wine merchant. No forgetting him, with his large, ruddy face set between two overstuffed shoulders, and his equally stout wife. It was after 4:30 when the Klögers arrived at last, both older and younger generations, along with Consul Klöger's sons, Jakob and Jürgen, who were the same age as Tom and Christian. And, almost simultaneously, here came the parents of the younger Madame Klöger, lumber merchant Herr Overdijk and his wife, an elderly, affectionate couple, who made a habit of exchanging the most youthful terms of endearment for everyone to hear.
"Late guests are fine guests," Consul Buddenbrook said, kissing his mother-in-law's hand. "And arrive en masse!"
After sweeping an arm over the contingent of Klöger in-laws, Johann Buddenbrook shook hands with Herr Klöger Senior. Lebrecht Klöger, cavalier à la mode, was a large, distinguished man. His hair was lightly powdered, but he wore the latest fashion. Two rows of jewelled buttons sparkled on his velvet vest. His son, Eustace, sported a goatee and a moustache turned up at the ends, but he strongly resembled his father in stature and demeanour, and was equally a master of elegant, rounded gestures with his hand. They did not take seats at once, but stood there in expectation of the main event, engaging in casual, preliminary conversation. And now, Johann Buddenbrook, Sr., offered his arm to Madame Köppen, and said, in a voice audible to all,
"Well, if everyone has an appetite, mesdames et messieurs."
Mademoiselle Jungmann and the kitchen-maid had opened the white folding doors to the dining-room, and the party moved at a confident, leisurely pace in its direction. One could reckon with a nourishing snack at the Buddenbrooks'.